Amen. Well, welcome to week number two in our series called Meaningful. We're trying to unpack some of God-given gifts that make life so rich and full of meaning. Last week, we celebrated families of all shapes and sizes and numbers, especially when we do faith together, the great strength God blesses our families with when we do faith in the context of this worshiping community, but then also at home, as at mealtimes and at bedtimes, as we pray with one another, as we share highs and lows, share a Bible verse. Tons of research about the assets that are built up in children who are actively involved in faith compared to when, for whatever reason, they are not. So congratulations to all the moms and dads who are in the game with their children. So last week we called it a family's face. Today, a welcoming place. What does it mean to feel welcomed? One dynamite moment of welcome is when a serviceman or woman comes home from a mission and is hugged by their loving spouse or family. In a sense, I wonder if that's sort of what happens with each one of us when we show up for church. You see, like that very brave service person, you too have been out on an assignment from Monday through Saturday. The last time you were in worship, it ended with these marching orders: go in peace, serve the Lord, help others to connect to Jesus' pathway of joy in life. And you shouted, thanks be to God, or amen, I will, I accept the mission. And then when you return to worship, your Heavenly Father is there like these moms and dads to hug you home, to tell you, well done this week. Yes, God is with us 24/7 whenever we turn to God in prayer and study or service. But you mean so much to God that long ago he asked something special. He said, if I have 10 wishes or 10 commands, would number 3, not 7, 8, or 9, but would number 3 be this thing called the Sabbath day? Would all of you sort of come home so we could be together in a very special way, so I could reform you and re-energize you and give you a special hug that is on top of the way we are 7 days a week? Now, some of you might be a little skeptical. Well, Pastor Fritz, maybe God is excited to see some other people, but I'm not sure I've had a week of which God would be very proud. Not sure about my identity in general in God's eyes. If that's the case, if any of you ever doubt your self-worth, consider this. And I'm going to start with maybe a fun illustration and get to something more serious. Have you ever heard of this way of seeing the world? When the birds and the bees get together, which is a wonderful part of God's creative design, did you know that there are 40 million different possibilities of who they will create when God asks the stork to make a delivery, if you are following me on this? So each person in this room today is the winner, the selection in a 1 in 40 million birds and bees creation contest. Turn to somebody next to you right now and say, you are a lottery winner. Now, more importantly, even more accurately, you could tell them, God says, you're wanted and you're welcome. Tell them that. You are wanted. You are welcomed. If you still need convincing, listen again to what Jesus told us of how he frames the issue. He told the story of the shepherd with 100 sheep, and 99 are good to go. They're safe and sound, but one is missing. And according to Jesus, God's heartbeat is saying, hey, 99, you hang in there. I got to go. I got to venture into the wilderness for the one. Christ, our shepherd, has that kind of heartbeat. At our house, we have just one dog, a 15-year-old Jack Russell named Riley. But every time we want to go somewhere where you have to stay overnight, oh my gosh, we don't have family nearby, so it feels like we're doing cartwheels to make arrangements for this little, 12-pound dog. I also have, 9 fish. I have a little aquarium in my office here at church, and I've got one at home. But still, when I go somewhere, who's going to feed the 9 fish? God, get that all arranged. What are the arrangements you need to make to take care of 99 sheep? Is it really worth it? Jesus says, it is. You are. Wow. Likewise, if you still haven't got the point, he's going to go hard. He wants you to understand this. There's a woman. She's got 10 coins. 9 are safe in her drawer. Fine. But when she misses one, even though maybe it's been a long, long day, she is beat, she's exhausted, she hasn't had any dinner yet, she's willing to light a lamp, get down on her knees, and search for that one. At our house, we've got too many remotes. We've got a sound remote, actually. It's probably too small, and everyone, once in a while, it's misplaced. You start with the pillows, you move those all over, you take Riley's little carpet off the couch, no, it's not there, and then you realize, okay, you're going to have to put your hand down between the space between the cushions, right? And it's never you, but maybe somebody you live with has had some chips and has broken a little bit, and they sort of get down there in the crevice, and it wasn't you, but maybe someone else who was having a little something to drink spilled the drink, and they didn't really clean that up properly, so it was a little sticky. And then you got the dog hair down there, and there comes a point in your mind, you say, it's not worth it to put my hand down in this crevice. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up. Every time I need to adjust the sound, I'll get up and I'll walk over to the TV. And like in the olden days, we'll adjust it manually without the remote. It's not worth it. But that woman, she is down on the floor searching for that one lost coin, running her hands under the refrigerator. And finally, she finds it. And then what? She's so joyful, she says, let's have a party. She invites her friends and she celebrates. Jesus says, that's what happens in heaven, a party. When you or I or any sinner repents, which means to turn afresh toward God once again. When you show up for worship, maybe you can't hear it, but there's a mini party in heaven because you have returned home once again to be in the Lord's Spirit. Turn to someone one more time and tell them, you are welcomed, you are wanted. That's my first goal for us today, that you would feel afresh, personally, how deeply welcomed you are in Jesus' family. A second goal for us is to refresh our affirmation that my welcome in Jesus' arms will never be jeopardized by how many other people he welcomes into the family. You know, a juggler, even the best ones, they can only handle so many balls in the air at one time. That's not the way it is with God, right? Jesus' arms are so wide and wonderful that he can hug every man, woman, and child on planet Earth simultaneously, wonderfully, uniquely. And the cool thing, the meaningful thing, that's the name of our series, is that Jesus calls you to be a co-worker in his mission to make everybody's life feel as welcoming as possible. In a congregation that dares to call itself Christ our Shepherd, surely we can understand his restlessness that 99 even aren't okay. But he has got a heartbeat for the one who still hasn't felt included or welcomed somehow. So let's spend the rest of our moments as we head for home in this sermon unpacking this. A mysterious adventure. I mean, that's what it is on this welcoming mission. In the Old Testament, the octogenarian Abram and his wife Sarai are still barren when they see some passersby and they welcome them into their tent. And it's in that conversation they are told they will be finally parents. Maybe that's why Hebrews then tells us that entertain strangers because you might entertain angels unaware. Right after the crucifixion, do you remember? There are two travelers, two disciples, and they are just down. And they're just going back onto their lives. So they're on the road to the city of Emmaus. And they encounter a stranger. And they just start to talking. And finally, they welcome the stranger into, hey, it's getting a little too late. Just eat with us. We'll give you some lodging. They're concerned about him. And it's then, only then, in the breaking of the bread, that they realize this stranger is actually Jesus, the resurrected one. Maybe that's why Jesus tells us in Matthew, the way you treat the stranger is the way you treat me. So Luann, in our home, has this hanging right by our front doorway from St. Benedict. All are to be welcomed as Christ. A mysterious adventure every day as we open the door to maybe greet somebody at our door, or to walk through the door to meet the people God is going to put in our pathway. Do we remember to bring Jesus' spirit to welcome everyone, maybe as Christ himself? Have you heard of a two-minute drill? You football fans have. You're going to be seeing some maybe this afternoon. Maybe you saw some watching your college team yesterday. Teams practice and practice and practice a series of plays that they can do really well so that in the final 2 minutes of a game, they will be as successful as possible and prevail. Christ our Shepherd needs people committed to the two-minute drill. Why? Well, research tells us that a typical visitor in 2 minutes will be walking out the door into the parking lot, getting in their car to get home, unless they have been welcomed by you and you introduce themselves. Now, your good buddy, your friend on the ministry team that you need to talk to, they will all still be around somewhere in 2 minutes, 99% of the time. The visitor will not. So could we make Christ our Shepherd a welcoming place by each one of us making that commitment to go and to talk to somebody? Now, how do you do that? You're afraid of embarrassing yourself, especially if this person's been around. Here's one way. I think I've told you before. Hey, I drank way too much Mountain Dew in college, so my memory is not what it should be. But I'm not sure if I've had a chance to meet you yet. My name is Fritz.
I'm Carol.
Hey, Carol, and you're off to the races. Someone at 8:30 service said, are you sure it was Mountain Dew you were drinking in college? I thought that was good. Now, what happens if you sort of know, hey, I've seen that person. I think this person's been here a good year, maybe 2 years. Well, you just modify that a little bit. Say, hey, I know I've seen you here before, but I'm not sure I've ever had a chance to introduce myself. My name is Fritz.
Yes, my name's Wendy.
Wendy, all right, and you're off to the races. Now remember, anyone you meet, they too are a 1 in 40 million lottery winner. So, I mean, these are great people that you are talking to, each made by God's hands. Here are a couple of other tips that we hear from experts of a welcoming place. A little small, so let me read these. Every church member is a host, not a guest. Making visitors feel welcome is the responsibility of members, not the nebulous church. You know, someone else, it'll get done. The church will do. No, it's you. Secondly, the most important person for a visitor to talk to in order to feel really at home is you. It's not the pastor. It's not the official greeter. But it is a regular attender sitting around you. One of the most impressive gestures we can extend to first-time visitors for people with no official position to take the initiative and welcome them. You know, I've heard that, you know, if I give you a call, if the pastor and I, and I'll do that, I'm eager to do it, but if I do it, people can say, well, pastors get paid to be friendly. Pastors get paid to talk to me. But if a regular worshiper sitting around you, that makes an impression. That testifies to a culture and the real identity of that group. Treat first-time visitors as guests of God, not just strangers. Learn people's names and remember them. Would you be able to commit to wearing your name badge? And Becky Lee is out there. And if you haven't, if you want a second one, if you haven't ordered one, she's doing another order right today. Thank you, Becky. Or if you just want to put on the Connect card, name badge, please call me. We'll pursue that. And we've got that great station. You just put them on your, or leave it on the station on your way out. You pick it up on your way in. Ask questions and learn about your guests. It's better to express interest in them than to try to sell the church. Just listening to people is always a great effective way to show love. In our Vision 2020 process last year, our leaders, they considered deeply Jesus' heartbeat of restlessness until the 100th sheep, until the 10th coin has been welcomed home. And so one of the values they wrote is this. Could we read it together? We are an open and inclusive community that welcomes everyone. Our openness allows us to see God reflected in every living being. Respect each person regardless of their life choices and experiences. Love the variety of people that join our community. Embrace people regardless of faith. Hey, so thanks to our ushers who are out there. Thanks to the greeters who have done a good job. You make us feel welcome. Thanks to our faith exploration, our Sunday school leaders, as they make us feel welcome, a safe place to ask questions and to grow in the faith. Thanks to our ministry team leaders who have invited us to participate, to use our gifts, because you really feel welcome. People trust you to be who you are and to be a part of the mission. Thanks to our gift groups who are open and always have a space for somebody, or if your gift group is closed, that you're committed to starting a new group somehow so that everyone can find their spot. Thanks for showing up to Hops and Hymns. We had a good time, great time a couple weeks ago, and we've got the second Sunday night of October and the second Sunday night of December on the books, because we're trying to welcome people who might not feel welcome in a church building. And that was great fun. Thanks for those of you who are going to wear your name tags, who are going to do the two-minute drill. Thanks for you who are positioned wherever God has you. And you say, I get it. Life is so much more meaningful when a person feels welcomed and valued. You want to make the world as welcoming as possible. Final thought. You remember that Disney movie, Beauty and the Beast? I think there was a movie more recently. I didn't see that one. But if I remember the Disney, it was started off with an older, haggard woman. And there's a storm, and she's trying to find shelter. She goes up to a castle, she knocks on the door, and she asks for help. And the prince is not to be bothered, especially with someone who looks like her. And so he shuts the door. And then the judgment comes. He has failed the test of hospitality. So he is transformed by the enchantress from a prince into a beast, whereby he will understand how hard it is to feel welcomed sometimes in the eyes of others. We, friends, are not cursed. We've been blessed. We have been blessed to feel the welcome of a loving Father and to be invited to be co-workers in his mission to make the church as welcoming as possible. And therefore, we may come alive what Romans says. Let's read this together. Welcome one another then, just as Christ welcomed you, in order to bring praise to God. In Jesus' welcoming name, amen. As I get ready to take my seat, I have one final word for any of the kids who are here today. We just heard about the woman who has to work to find that coin, the shepherd who has to work to find the sheep. When church is over today, if you do a little scouting trip, if you ask around, there is one person in this room who's got some candy for you. All right? But you're going to have to search. You're going to have to introduce yourself. And maybe if you ask enough people, you will find the person with a little treat for you.